This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
1 year ago, on May 11th, 2007, coast-to-coast AM webmaster Lex received an email with several images of an odd dragonfly-shaped aerial object from a Central California resident who called himself Chad. The images were dated May 6, 2007. In addition to the dragonfly-shaped body that had appendages sticking out from a large ring, rising straight up into the air from the ring were slightly curved thin wires that formed a tall circular crown above the dragonfly body. Other 2007 photographs of dragonfly-shaped aerial objects began to emerge between May and June from Lake Tahoe, Capitola, and Big Basin, California, all with appendages sticking out from a ring and the tall, thin wires extending high above. After the June 5th Big Basin craft, no other 2007 photographs of the mysterious dragonfly-shaped drones emerged, and none of us knew until spring 2008 that two other eyewitnesses further north in Camas, Washington, on the Columbia River between Washington and Oregon, were encountering yet another craft moving like a dragonfly above Lacamas Lake on June 7, 2007. Those two eyewitnesses are good friends. After a year of silence, one has agreed to speak on the record with his full name, Brent Ureau, a 48-year-old professional artist who specializes in airbrushing cars, motorcycles, and blue jeans. Even though Brent was born and raised in the Vancouver, Washington region as a strict Catholic, he has not been as upset as his friend Tim by their encounter with an unearthly-looking aerial craft. Tim is a Christian fundamentalist who does not accept there is other intelligent life beyond Earth, and he is not willing to comment. Brent Ureau is a single parent with two sons. In the late afternoon of Thursday, June 7, 2007, Brent dropped one of his sons downtown in Camas and was returning home up the big hill that goes toward Lacamas Lake. He heard sirens and could see behind him the blue flashing lights of two police cars speeding up the hill. Brent pulled over as the police went by. After that came more emergency rescue vehicles, a fire truck, and another police car. Brent worried there had been a big wreck up ahead and thought of his good friend Tim, who lived up the road. When Brent reached Tim's house, he was relieved that all was quiet, but he was surprised when more Camas City Police and Clark County officers sped by. Brent Ureau drove to an open space overlooking Lacamas Lake to see if there was a wreck on Ledbetter, a curvy road that follows the lake. He could not see anything on the road, but coming toward him in the sky was something he had never seen before.
And I saw what I thought was a logging helicopter, a really small-framed helicopter, like a wire-framed helicopter, coming down what we call Lacamas Valley, down along Lacamas Creek. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And I started hearing the static sound, you know, and I thought it was my radio, and I pushed a button on my stereo, you know, and I just realized that it was on CD, and it was a CD player, and I'm going, well, what's that, you know? So I thought that maybe I'd run over a branch or something, and I was dragging a branch. This is kind of what it sounded like, you know? So I rolled down my window, and I was slowing down. I rolled down the passenger window, and it sounded like it was coming out of the passenger window. And I could hear the wind, you know, going over my sunroof and stuff. So as I'm slowing down, it seemed like it was getting louder. It's still making the sound, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And I'm going, what the heck? And I look to my left, which is just about, you know, probably, I don't know, a couple hundred feet, maybe 300 feet over the water where I'm at on the road. And I saw what I thought was that helicopter thing. As I'm slowing way down, it's still making the sound, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And I'm going, what the heck? And I saw what I thought was that helicopter thing. What the heck? You know, I'm getting ready to jump out and see if there's a branch or something stuck under my car. And I realize that the sound is coming from this thing, okay? And I'm looking at it. My first thing was I'm looking for some sort of a propulsion system. I'm looking for a propeller. And I know that there was, you know, there's a ring, okay? So, and I know I could see light through this ring. I was kind of at a side angle. but I couldn't hear anything that sounded like a turbine engine or, you know, an internal combustion engine or a steam engine or anything for that matter, you know, and I'm real mechanical and that kind of stuff, and I know what that stuff sounds like, and I'm going, that is so weird. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's not like anything I've ever seen in my life, okay? And I'm just in awe. And I'm sitting there, and I got a really nice Olympus camera in my glove box. And I'm in so much shock over this thing that I'm, you know, I didn't even think about it. I'm just like sitting there, and I'm looking around to see if there's anybody else, because I live in a fairly rural area, but a lot of people jog and bicycle and stuff by the lake, and I didn't see a soul. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, my word. Here I am having a close encounter, and there isn't anybody around. You know, this is crazy. And I'm sitting here looking at this thing, and it just kind of like, it hovered. And as it was coming down, I noticed when it was coming down, when I saw it through the trees, when I was coming up the hill, it was moving back and forth like in an erratic motion, like it was looking for something. You know what I mean? Like a helicopter going back and forth looking for something. Hmm. But I could see it like rotated, you know, like a helicopter would kind of, you know, so the it was staying stationary, but the body of it was twisting or something. And I'm going, what the heck? As I'm looking at this thing, it's really, really loud, and it made a static sound, okay? It sounded like electricity or something, you know, like, you know what a Jacob's ladder is, where it goes zzzz, or the static on a television late at night, except for exaggerated, really loud.
And Brent, what is there where it seemed to be looking?
I don't know. It was over the lake, but it wasn't a helicopter. There was no blades on it. There was no props, and it had a nose on it, okay? And it had what, to me, it looked like a more of a, I know I understand how airplanes work and stuff, you know, a wing. There wasn't anything that you would resemble a wing in any way, shape, or form. The nose maybe, perhaps, resembled a wing, but there wasn't a leading edge on it. It was all the same width, you know, it was weird.
When you say nose, what do you mean nose?
When I say nose, it had a different thing on the front. The front of it, it was a different appendage than the other ones. The other ones looked like spikes or spears, you know, or something like that.
So how is this nose different?
It was long and it was flat. I know that for sure. It was long and it was flatter. The other appendages seemed to be bulkier for some reason. It was an obvious ring, okay? It did have appendages that I could see for sure. One longer one in the front, and it had one coming out towards me because I could see the end of it. And where they joined the body at, it looked like there was like couplers or something. Like it looked like almost like a transformer to me, mm-hmm. with the wire structure. With couplers everywhere where there was, you know, like the thing that went out the front, it seemed like there was a coupler in it. And one of the things that went through my head was that the thing was hurt or that it was injured or there was something that was malfunctioning is what I felt like because of the way it was twitching and stuff. Hmm. And I started to smell something. It smelled like ozone. I don't know if you know what ozone smells like, but
yeah.
Like a burnt circuit board or something like that. And this thing is making this ungodly noise, and it seemed like forever. And I'm sitting there, and I looked around again, and there's still no cars, no nothing. And I'm thinking, this is so weird.
And twitching, what do you mean?
Like, almost every time it made all the static sound, mm-hmm. it would shudder or something. It sat there, but it was almost like the static was so loud, and it was like it was a part of it. I couldn't see any thrusters going down. You know, I was looking for a propeller in the middle of the thing is what I was thinking.
Right.
Because, you know, I play with radio-controlled stuff. I got a nice radio-controlled truck and stuff like that. And I didn't see anything like that. And the noise that it made was what got me the worst, you know. It looked like the appendage that was facing me, which would have been the right side of it, rotated. It looked like the appendages rotated and the ring stayed still almost.
Huh.
And they rotated to the left, went directly away from me. And then I could see an appendage sticking out the rear, and it went like zip, zip, and it was gone. It went straight, like I could see, like right up to the Columbia River Gorge, right up towards Mount Hood and Bonneville Dam. Boom. It wasn't very thick, you know what I mean? It was like thin. I'm sure everybody's calling them drones because they're so small. There wasn't enough structure there to house anyone, a person, you know, unless they were very, very, very small people because there was no pilot. So this has got to be some sort of, you know, electrically operated, you know, hovering off an arc or something. I don't get it, you know, because
right.
I could feel like I smelt it and I could hear this crackling sound. Well, this thing zipped off and I sat there for a second and I realized I got a camera in my glove box and I'm going, what an idiot. You know, nobody's ever going to believe this. And I had a car in my garage and I was working. I don't live far from where this happened. So I drove up the road. I came in and I was doing some airbrush work on this car and I just grabbed my airbrush and I have these little black boards that I just use them for make sure I got the right line on my airbrush and stuff. And I just kind of, you know, fuzzed in a picture of it, you know, a little circle with the appendages. And the phone rings, and it's my friend, Tim, whose house that I was looking at to make sure those officers weren't going there, you know.
Right.
And it was him on the phone, and he goes, you're not going to believe what just happened to me. And I'm like, what? He goes, I went out in the yard because all these cars went by. I said, I know, I just came up the hill. I said, where'd they all go? I said, he didn't know. But he said, I walked out in the yard to see where they were going, and I lit up a cigarette, and I'm standing there, and I seen a helicopter. I thought a helicopter coming down. I go, no way. And he goes, yeah. I go, why? And I says, Tim, I was coming up the hill when all those cops went by, and I saw the same thing you saw. Was it making any noise? And he's going, oh, it was weird. It didn't sound, you know, and I mean, he saw the exact same thing I saw. The only difference was he said he thought it had lights on it, you know?
Right.
It was the evening, and the sun was setting and stuff, and it would have been up high enough to reflect some light, but he swears to God that he says it looked like it had two headlights on it, and it was moving back and forth. It was like looking, you know, like snooping or something. And I'm going, really? And he goes, yeah. And then it stopped, and he goes, and it took off and went that way. He would have been closer than I was, but he was underneath of it. He was down at the lake level, and I'm, you know, several hundred feet above him on the hill, and it was about level with me. And when it took off, it probably was probably closer to him than it was me. And he says that he could see air through the bottom of it, and it had the nose, the exact same thing. So he came over, and we just kind of drew it. Sit there with an airbrush, and I drew a little bit, and he tried a little bit, and I did one, you know, kind of front on what he thought it looked like with the lights. And I was doing lightning on this car, and I'm going, you know, I could smell ozone and stuff, you know, and we kept talking about this crackling, and we were comparing it to electrical, you know, popping and stuff like that, or a speaker square waving, and I go, you know, I don't know why, but I just feel like lightning, you know, and I mean, it's electricity, and I drew the lightning through it.
And on this particular object that you and Tim saw,
yeah,
that seems to be very similar to the drones that people were seeing in May and June of 2007,
yeah,
what do the two of you estimate was the length of what you saw and the height of what you saw?
It wasn't very thick. It was very thin. You know what I mean? From top to bottom, it was thin, but it was long. If I was to take the ring, the top of my car would fit in it. I drive a four-door, so I would say it was probably 40 feet long. That's with the appendages included. Okay. Body-wise, I would say it's probably, I would say the circular part of it, the ring, was probably 8, 10, maybe 12 feet across. If this thing was propelling itself with some sort of thrust or something that was keeping it up above the water where I saw it, there would have been something on the water, but the water was glass smooth.
What was the strangest part of what you're looking at?
The noise and the way it rotated, the way the thing moved, because it was really, really, like, mechanical. That's what got me. The eeriest thing about it, though, to be honest with you, was the fact that I couldn't explain it to myself.
And that very strange motion, the mechanical motion, is why in 2007, some people used the metaphor in the beginning, you know how dragonflies stop and start?
That's how it flew. It was like a dragonfly, that jerky motion.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it moved. You know how a dragonfly would come stop on a dime and just sit there and hover?
Right.
That's what it was like.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, okay, this is not right. And that's when it did this little rotating thing. And I can't say for sure that the appendages rotated and the ring stayed still, but it sure appeared to be that way.
How high was this object over the water?
I'd say 200 feet.
So it's 200 feet above the water, and how far from you?
150 yards.
A little more than a football field away.
Yeah, but not that far. I mean, it was just right even with my window and my car.
And you and Tim estimate that it was maybe 40 feet long with all the appendages, and how thick would it be?
I'm going to have to say a foot, maybe. It's probably 2 feet thick at the most.
Really thin?
Real thin. Real, real thin. This thing was like, it looked like the appendages on the back all came together or something, and the nose rotated or whatever, and they all came together, and it formed. It looked like an arrow. There's another picture that I painted there that's, you know, real slim, real slender, and the way the thing took off. First thing I try to tell myself is, you know, I asked him, I said, well, could you see, like, through the bottom of it? And when it went, direction it went, it was when it was closest to him, but it was moving too fast for him to, you know, I mean, actually see up through the thing, but he knew it was hollow, so.
How close do you think Tim was?
Well, at first, he was probably a lot further away from it from where I was when I saw it, when it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good, perfectly clear view of it where it stopped and rotated. He was probably, I don't know, half a mile away, and it was above the lake, and he's got a perfect dead view of the lake and stuff right there. And what it did where it rotated at, it took and went straight out and went back up towards the hills where it came from, basically, but it went to, you know, it just went to the east. It went right up by the Camas High School, like right over the top of it, and boom, gone. So I would say Tim is probably, he was closer when it took off because it went, you know, closer to him that way than I probably was. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, he's probably a half mile where it rotated. But when it took off, it went right towards his house and over by the high school, which is, I would say, probably four blocks away from him. I tried to draw what Tim was telling me.
It looks like a broken canvas.
It's a hardboard that I use for scratch paper, basically.
And up there in the far right, it looks like everybody else's photographs of what we're calling the dragonfly drones because of the way they move.
Okay, the one at the top, that is what Tim saw. That's what he said he could see from the lake. That's, I drew it for him. But see, he was underneath of it, okay? And what I was trying to tell him I saw was like the one with the lightning coming out of it right below that. I was on the side. He was below it.
And that's why he could see more of the appendage.
Right, and that's why he said it looked like it had more than one thing sticking out the back. Because I said when it looked like it took off, I thought those things all rotated, but it was because I was looking at it from the side. And I told him, I said, I remember it looked like it had some bent antenna on it or something, you know, bent antennas. And he's going, what do you mean? I said, well, it's got an antenna or something on the top, but I saw an antenna or something, but it looked like it was bent. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why in my mind I thought maybe the thing was, you know, damaged or something. It was malfunctioning.
The photographs in 2007, there is this sort of crown of very tall wires that curve coming up out of the ring.
Yeah.
But you and Tim apparently didn't see this.
Well, I saw one. I thought what was one antenna on it is what I was thinking. But again, from my angle, you know, I was looking at the side. I was looking for something that was propelling it, you know.
Right.
I didn't care that there was a wire on the top, but I was looking for suspension wires and stuff like that. I know that I saw something on the top of it or some sort of an antenna array or something like that. That's what I thought. And that's what gave me the radio control idea. You know, maybe somebody's running it with the radio control and it's got a little propeller in the center. And Tim could see it from the bottom when it was doing its little rotating routine.
Right.
And he said that, you know, no, it was hollow. There was nothing there. And I says, I know, but it doesn't make sense. It's impossible. And so we agreed at that time. We just, instead of telling anybody about it, let's just shut up. And so nobody thinks we're retards, you know. Don't want anybody thinking we're stupid or crazy, you know. And he's more into electronic stuff. He said it sounded like a speaker square waving.
A speaker square waving.
Yeah, the way he described it is if whatever makes the cone go back and forth, he goes, if it gets arced out in there or something like that, it's called a square wave, and it makes an ungodly sound. And I said, well, it sounded to me like the TV late at night, and you wake up, and it's going.
Right.
You know, but it was really super loud. That's why I couldn't believe that nobody else has seen it, nobody else said anything about it. I mean, maybe everybody's got the same idea I did, just, you know, some things are better left unsaid.
Well, what's interesting is that all of the other sightings in which there were photographs, everyone said that they either could not hear anything or they heard, in Chad's case, a kind of hissing sound.
And he did hear something?
Yes, and he emailed me asking if I thought that there was any danger from whatever they were emitting that had this electrostaticky sound, but not loud.
I have this thing in my mind, you know those plasma balls? If you ever seen one of those things, they got the little things inside of you, you know, to go out to the balls.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I felt like. You know, I mean, I just had this feeling, you know, I mean, that the thing's emitting plasma or something, you know, and that's what's keeping it afloat. That's when I smelled what I thought was ozone.
If this object and these other dragonfly-moving, strange, drone-like objects that people have photographed and now you and Tim have seen are something that our government has either back-engineered or produced, what?
I'm going to be pissed.
What do you think their mission is?
I don't know. Can I tell you what I felt about it all along? I'm really good about having feelings towards stuff. I almost felt like this thing was prospecting, like it was a research vehicle. If something, it's looking for something. They're looking for gold. That's what I thought.
If these dragonfly-moving drones are not made by our government or any other government on Earth and are in fact some kind of a monitoring device from some other place.
Someplace else?
Yeah. How does that leave you thinking and feeling?
Well, you know, I'm concerned a little bit about the whole situation because I know that whatever it was, I felt like it was aware that I was watching it and it knew I could see it, okay? I felt like it knew I was looking at it. And it's something that I just felt inside. I felt like this thing knows that I'm looking at it, and it knows it can be seen, and it didn't like it, and it wanted to get out of there. And it was like, when I said it was looking for something, you know, real fidgety back and forth, it was like it was looking for a place to run. what is up with this? This is so weird. And if it is something from somewhere else, you know, we're being surveyed, okay? Those are surveyors, and I don't know what they're looking for, but I think they're prospecting for something. You know, if it is somebody surveying from another world, I guess they got the right idea because they're making it so that we can't see them.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.